As kids, we always sang that little chorus, "This Little Light of Mine." And I want to talk about that in regards to that tonight. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This, of course, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus is the speaker. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used two powerful metaphors to describe his people. He calls us both salt and he calls us light. When you think about it, salt and light are vastly different. Salt is hidden, light is obvious. Salt works secretly, while light works openly. Salt works from within, light from without. Salt speaks of the indirect influence of the gospel, while light speaks about direct communication. Salt is largely negative. It can retard corruption, but it cannot change corruption into incorruption. Light, on the other hand, is more positive. It only reveals that which is wrong and false. Not only does that, but it also produces that which is righteous and true. We are to be both salt and light. We are like salt in that we are to help retard the corruption that is in this world, and we are to be like light to help dispel confusion. You know, both salt and light are miracles. Salt is composed of chloride and sodium. Both of those elements are highly explosive. And yet God has combined them in such a manner that they are stable, edible, and valuable. And then when you think about light is a miracle. How can you really define light? How would you describe light? Well, here's how Webster's Dictionary defines it. "Something that makes vision possible. The sensation aroused by stimulation of the visual receptors, an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, and ultraviolet, and X-rays, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles or 300,000 kilometers per second, specifically the part of this range that is visible to the human eye." That makes absolutely no sense to me. Maybe you're a scientist and you can understand it. It sounds like a miracle to me. And to me, that's what light is. Both salt and light are needed in our world. And while both of these images speak to what our role should be in this world, I want to take just a few minutes tonight to talk about light in particular. And first of all, let's look at the power of light. Light has the power to conquer darkness. Wherever there is the least little bit of light, darkness is forced to flee. The same is true in the spiritual realm. The Bible says, "The entrance of thy words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The psalmist also said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When light enters, darkness flees. If this room was completely black, completely dark tonight, and somebody were to light even a match, that match would shine bright. Darkness would be forced to leave. So I thank God for the light. It can save us from making mistakes. If you had to work in the dark all the time, how many mistakes would you make? But fortunately, God has given us light. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I went a-courtin', I never carried one of those things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said wryly, "and look what you got." We'd make all kinds of mistakes if it wasn't for the fact that God has given us light. Light conquers darkness. Light colors drabness. Color does not really exist. Color is really just a trick of the eye. Light is perceived as being white, but it is in fact made up of energy in varying wavelengths. The wavelengths compose all the colors of the spectrum. Now, when light hits an object, that light can either be absorbed or reflected. Now, some can scatter light or refract light, but I'm not interested in that tonight. Light is either absorbed, taken in, or it's reflected out. If an object absorbs all the light that hits it, the object will appear black. If an object reflects all the light that hits it, the object will appear white. So if, for an instance, an object absorbs every wavelength of light except for blue, then the object appears to be blue. If it absorbs all the objects of light except for red, then the object appears to be red. Without light, our world would just be dark, and it would be drab. There would be no color. Can you imagine no color in life? Things would lose their beauty, wouldn't they, with no color? We like the green grass in the summertime. We like the white snow, hopefully, in the wintertime. And so God has created light, and it's part of his beauty. Not only should our presence as Christians put darkness to flight, it should also cause the world to be a more colorful and beautiful place. There's nothing like meeting a Christian who is reflecting all the light of the Savior. Nothing like that. When we have discouraging times and down days and we meet a fellow believer reflecting the character of Christ, they're there and they encourage us. And we see the beauty of life again. And we are all called to be lights, to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And then light changes deadness. It was the light of the gospel of grace that brought life to our dead souls. Our hearts were warmed by the truth of the Word of God, and we were delivered from death and darkness by his light. And as we let our light shine in a dark world, the same thing will happen with other people. God will use our witness and our testimony to warm the dead sinner's heart and to draw them to Jesus for salvation. Our light, which is really his light being reflected by us, is a means of bringing heaven to earth, to show to dead people that there is the possibility of spiritual life for them. And then light conditions dreariness. How many times in the middle of winter do we get tired of just having days and days and days where there's no sunshine? Or how many times in the spring is there rainy day after rainy day after rainy day, and we just hope for a day of sunshine? And how we are encouraged. You know, people get discouraged when they go for days without the sun. There's something about the sun and the brightness of the sun that it has a warming and an encouraging effect. Our days, our moods are immediately transformed by the appearance of light. This world that we live in can be a dark and dreary place, and I'm not just talking about the weather, I'm talking about the spiritual climate as well. And however dark and dreary a day may be, when we are exposed to the light of the people of God, we are instantly brightened. I want to encourage you to be that kind of light for people. When they go through life and they're having dark times and dreary days, then when they come in contact with us, they're being exposed to the light of God, and we have that opportunity to brighten their lives. Since this light is so precious and powerful, how are we to let it be seen? Well, in this passage, Jesus refers to a city set on a hill. A city is not a single light, but it is rather a collection of many lights. The cities in those days were often constructed out of white limestone. Imagine a limestone city sitting on top of a hill. The sun rises and reflects off that city. It could be seen for miles, even in the daytime. It could not be hidden. And then when night falls, the moon would also light that city. But even if there was no moon to shine upon it, the lights of the city and in the windows of the houses could be seen for many miles around. It couldn't be hidden at night either. And so the image of the city of a hill speaks to us of letting our lights shine as a community of believers. It's really talking about the influence of the church, I believe. We are to be light in the world around us. As a church, we let our light shine by our standards, by our style of worship, by our testimony, and just by the things we believe and stand for. And so we as a church are a light, but there's also the light of an individual, because Jesus speaks of a candle. The word candle referred to ancient oil lamps. These were usually clay containers filled with olive oil, in which was placed a piece of twisted flax to serve as a wick. I think this speaks to us of the power of the individual believer's witness. Because just as a church has a testimony, so do you. Individuals have a testimony as well. Jesus saved us to be light for him. As he shines his light through us, those around us who are in darkness are helped to see their way to God. And so we're just like that clay vessel. But the oil of the Holy Spirit comes into us, and we are able, through the fruit of his Spirit, to shine forth, reflecting and giving the light of Christ. But did you notice that Jesus spoke of some people who hid their candle under a bushel? People hide their light under all kinds of bushels. Some hide theirs under the bushel of fear. A young man who became a Christian went off to a summer lumber camp to work. His pastor became concerned about him because he knew it would be a difficult situation to be a Christian there, to be a light for the Lord. So after the summer was over and the boy returned, the pastor said, "Son, I want you to know I knew you'd just been saved, and I knew it was going to be difficult on you, so I prayed for you while you were working this summer at the lumber camp. I was praying that they wouldn't make it too hard on you." And the young man said, "Oh no, preacher, I didn't have it hard at that lumber camp." He said, "You know, in fact, preacher, none of them ever found out I was a Christian." See, that's the tragedy. I hope nobody that knows you would not know that you are a Christian. I hope everybody that knows you knows that you are a Christian and knows what you stand for. Don't hide your light under the bushel of fear. Others hide their light under the bushel of apathy. They're just not concerned. If you hide your bushel, your light under a bushel, one of two things will happen. Either the basket will extinguish the candle, or the candle will consume the bushel. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the man of God answered, "I didn't put anything on it." His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, "Yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it." Suddenly the Christian understood, and his face glowed even more as he said, "Now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts." And so we have a responsibility as a church to let our light shine, but you also as an individual have a responsibility to let your light shine and not hide it under any bushels. By the way, this is the first time I've ever compared this passage in Matthew with the passage in Luke. And there Jesus adds a phrase, "or putteth it under a bed." I think the bushel speaks of the world of labor. The bed speaks of the world of leisure. Jesus seems to be saying that there are some that are too busy to let their light shine, and others are simply too lazy to let their light shine. Don't let either one of those conditions happen to you. And then tonight, finally, we look at the purpose of light. Jesus tells of the twofold purpose of this light that he has placed within our hearts. First of all, it's to be a witness to the lost. And secondly, it's to be a witness to the Lord. There is no greater witness than a born-again believer reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as light does not exist to call attention to itself, but to draw attention to the things it illuminates, our witness does not magnify what we have done. Our testimony is about a great God, a God who loved us and spared not his only Son to come into this world to die on a cross. We deserved death. We deserved damnation. But what we got because of Christ is love and forgiveness, acceptance, and eternal life. You know that your light is shining, and that God is getting glorified when people look at you, and they don't say, man, what a great Christian. No, when they look at you and they say, that person serves a great God. That's our goal, to let our light shine, not to reflect our own selves or our own works, but to glorify our Father who was in heaven. I close with an illustration that Woodrow Wilson told a story of being in a barber shop one time. He said, I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the entire barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I left that place as I should have left, a place of worship. That when we come in contact with people, that we can elevate them to a higher plane, to a higher place. And that when we finally do leave their presence or they leave our presence, that they would have an attitude of reverence and even worship, sensing that they were in the presence of God because God is with us wherever we go. And so what are you going to do with your light? What are you going to do with it? Here's what I intend to do with mine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. And let Satan blow it out? No. I'm going to let it shine. Wherever I go, I want my light to shine, and I want to let it shine till Jesus comes. And I hope that that could be your prayer as well tonight.